Okay, we're on to Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Vav. We discussed Pasuk Vav yesterday. I want to review Pasuk Vav again and add a few more ideas. The Hoya Munas Itecha, Chaysen Yeshuos Chochmas Vodas, Yiras Hashem Hi Oitzer. So we learned yesterday the Pshuta Shomikra. We gave three interpretations, two from Rashi, one from the Mitzodos, which basically take this Pasuk and divide into two parts. And according to the first interpretation, we took the word emunah sitach and put a comma or a break after the words emunah sitach, and we translated those words as an instruction that there shall be faith during your times. Which times? So according to Rashi's first interpretation, it refers to the times of the year of harvest, and you shall provide truma, Meiser, Leket, Shechon Peah, you shall have faith in Hashem by fulfilling His will, His commandments, by giving to the poor, Tzedakah, and to the Kohen and Levi their entitlements. If you will do so, then you will be rewarded with Chosen Yeshua, strength of salvation, Chosen strength, Yeshua salvation, Chochmas Vodas, different forms of wisdom. And then the pasuk concludes, by the way, you shall be aware that everything must be within the framework of Yiras Shemaim, Yiras Hashem Hi Oitzaro. Everything that has in this pasuk, that's a general expression which refers back to the entire pasuk. All of the blessings of strength and power and wisdom will all be within the framework of Yiras Shemaim. The other interpretation of Rashi was, Emunah Sitach, it's a reward. Because you had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the dark times of life, during the difficult times of Tzara, of Golos, specifically in this context of this pasuk, when Melech Ashur attacked in those difficult times, what would be? Should we rebel? Should we surrender? Follow Shevna? We had faith in the Navi, in Yeshayah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you follow the will of Chizkiyahu. In reward for that, you will be granted these blessings, Chosin Yeshua's Chochma Vadas, Yisrim Yotzar, period. And the third interpretation, according to the Mitzudas, was the other way around, reverse. The instruction is Chochma Vodahas Yiras Hashem. Which refers to the study of Torah, if you will learn Torah and have Yiras Shemaim, then you will be rewarded with Emunah Sitach. That means Kiyum. Emunah does not mean in this context faith. It means, according to the Mitzudos, you'll be sustained. You will endure. Emunah Sitecha, the endurance of your times will be that of Chosen Yeshuos. If you will, of course, follow my instructions and involve yourself in the Chochmah and the Das and the Yiras Hashem and in Torah, then you will be rewarded with Emunah Sitecha. Those are the three simple interpretations. As you are, I'm sure, very well aware, there are many beautiful midrashim. Let's begin with one, Maim Chazal Gemar Masechta Shabbos, that when a person comes to heaven, he is asked six questions. He's asked six. What are the six questions? It comes from this pasuk, Emunas Itecha, Nososa v'Nosata be'Emuna. Did you do business in faith? That is Emunas Itecha. Were your times faithful? First question: did you conduct your business with honesty? Second question: Chosen Osakta. Bepriya Urvia. Chosen comes from the word, Chosen means strength. A person's strength is his children, but there are other interpretations. Let me see if I can find here quickly. Chosen in Aramaic, even though this is a Hebrew word, but Chosen is also an Aramaic word. Now generally we don't do that. We don't generally take words and make believe they're Aramaic, but in this context we do. And Aramaic means Yerusha, inheritance. A person can only bequeath his state to his children if he has children. So chosen is a key word to refer to marriage. Yeah? Asakta bepriya urviya. That's the second question. You know the famous Jewish, the asakta bepriya urviya doesn't necessarily mean that you get married. It means asakta. Did you involve yourself in seeing to it that other people get married? That's a word. Asakta. What? Shidduchim. Were you Isaac in Shidduchim? Were you part of the Shidduch columns, all the newspapers, and get involved in whatever? Okay, that's a Jewish. Okay. Asakta. The next word is Yeshuos, which stands for Tzipisa li Yeshua, that you yearn for Mashiach. Ani ma'am emuna shema b'vias ha-Mashiach afa pishe yismame im kol zechak l'b'chol yom sheyovo. The next question was chokhmas, that is pilpalta b'chokhma. Did you involve yourself in wisdom? Did you study Torah? V'da'as, that's also a form of wisdom. Havona hivanta dovar mitoch dovar. Did you understand? Did you analyze? Did you apply yourself? Okay, and it's not really clear the difference between chokhmah and das, but two different forms of wisdom. Whatever that means. What bina? Right, bina is maven dov mitoch dover. So that's not what it says in the past. It's das lechore is not bina. Okay, whatever. Two different. We have to study the Gemara, but this is just we understand that there are six questions, and then yiras hashem. Really, it's only five questions. Emunas itecha, choisen, yeshuos, chokhmah v'das. Five questions. And then the last question is Yiras Hashem, He Oitzara, because we're combining Emunas Yitecha into one. Emunas Yitecha, we're combining into one question. Were Enososa v'Nosata b'Emuna, were your times of business faithful? And then the other four questions, Chosen, children, which means marriage, Tzibisul Yeshua, Torah, Hevan, Dov, Mitoch Dovar, and then the pasuk concludes, but even so, even the person gets straight A's, he answers in the affirmative to all of the questions, Yiras Hashem hi oyitzar. If a person did not have Yiras Shemaim in this world, it's worthless. All of his score on his exam, his final exam, capital F, will be worthless if there is no Yiras Shemaim. Okay, this is the famous Chazal in Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. The five questions a person will be asked when he comes to heaven. And it's interesting that the order is the way it's presented in Masechta Shabbos. There are different Mamari Chazal which have different questions or a different order to the questions. That's a separate discussion, but at least one interpretation based upon this pasuk, the order of the words of this pasuk. Another interpretation, everyone I'm sure is well aware, that this six words, here we're going to break it into six parts, refer to the six sedarim of the Mishnayis, or of Shas. So Emuna refers to Seder Zeraim, because when a person plants, he has great faith. If you go take a person that never saw the entire process of farming, and you see for the first time a farmer take a seed and throw it into the ground, and cover it with earth and water it, you look at him like he lost his mind. What are you doing? What are you wasting your time softening the earth and taking seeds and throwing them into the ground? Why not eat those seeds? Why not use those seeds for something productive? You're destroying the seeds by burying it in the ground. The answer is have faith, and you will see that over a period of time, within a few months, 6 months, whatever the period of time is, depending on the different types of vegetation, this seed will produce something beautiful, will produce fruit, will produce grain. That requires faith, and that is the theme of Seder Zeraim, all the laws of Kilayim, of Orla, and of everything relating to the agricultural process. Itecha, your time, Seder Moed. Moed is all of the Moadim, Shabbos, Ervin, and all of the Mo'adim. That's Itecha. Chosen, as we said before, refers to Noshim, refers to strength. Person's strength is in his children, or according to the Targum, it means Yerusha. Chosen refers to Seder Noshim. Yeshuos refers to Seder Nizokin. If a person knows the laws of Nizokin, he can save himself. He'll be spared from harm. If you know how to conduct yourself properly in the laws of Chosha Mishpat, you will spare yourself from all of what can go wrong. Chochmas refers to Seder Kadoshim. That's what we're learning now in Daf Yomi. And because Seder Kadoshim requires great Chochmah. And Das refers to Seder Taharos. Okay, so we have over here, and even so, if a person knows there's a Baki Muflagin Shas in the Shisha Sidarim, he will only benefit from his knowledge if he combines it with Yiras Hashem Hi Oitzaro. And indeed, that's the last Mishnah in Mesechta Uksin. Last Mesechta in Shas is Mesechta Uksin, and the pas in the last Mishnah says Lahanchel Oslak Shvachu Lahanchel Luchol Tzadik Vitzadik Shai Oilamos Shenemar Lahanchel to bequeath LaOhavai to my beloved Yesh. Yesh is Bigmatria 310. Shin is 300. Yud is 10, and this means some Kabbalistic halacha. It's funny, it's interesting that we include with Kabbalah. No one knows what this means. Lahanchel Oyeva Yesh, every tzaddik gets 310 worlds. What does that mean? No one knows what that means. But there's a beautiful drush, and Shin Yud, or Yud Shin, stand for Yiras Shamayim. And it really fits perfectly into this pasuk, because this pasuk says we have the six orders of Mishnayos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he compiled all of the Brisos, the Mishnayos, all of the Mamre Chazal into six orders, based on this pasuk, and the conclusion of the pasuk is everything is nice and fine and well, but if there's no Yerushmaim, there's nothing. Yiras Hashem hi oitzaro. The last Mishnah, Lahanchel Oyeva Yesh Meram, is on Yiras Shemayim Yesh. Okay, one other idea. I saw a very beautiful idea. These six expressions refer to the Mo'adim. I saw this in the Be'uri HaChassidus. He says, Emunas Itecha refers as a general introduction. The Hoya Emunas Itecha, it shall be faithful your times. The year, there is a cycle in the year of the Mo'adim. What are the Mo'adim? So the Pasuk now enumerates the Itecha. Number one, Chosen Yeshuos, powerful salvation. Which holiday is a holiday of powerful salvation? Pesach, obviously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, Nisan and Niflos, the Asar Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. Pesach is the first of the Itecha, the Chosen Yeshuos, the powerful salvation. Then comes Chochmas Vodoas, those two words together. And that obviously refers to the next holiday. What is the next holiday? Shavuos. What happened on Shavuos? Matan Torah. Hashem gave us the ultimate Chochmah, the ultimate Das of Hashem through the Torah. Then what comes next? What's the next major set of festivals? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a time of Yiro Pachat. It's a time of Yom Hadin. Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem. And what's the last holiday? Sukkah. What is Sukkah? We collect all of the Mo'adim in the year, and we collect it together. We collect it together. Sukkah is the Zman Chag HaOsef. It's the season when the ingathering, Oitzar, to bring into your, in the agricultural process, it's the time of the year when you harvest. You bring in from the fields, from the fields, the grain that's been harvested, that's been lying in the sun, it's been winnowed into the silo. But that's symbolic of the fact that it's Sukkos, is the end, the last holiday of the year. The cycle begins with Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and then Sukkos, you take in all the lessons that you've learned throughout the entire year, and the spiritual lessons, and you bring them in to your home, into your neshama. It's a time to take inventory of what you have accomplished through the year He Oyitzara. So I believe that's another very beautiful idea to explain this pasuk, the Mo'adim, the Emunas Itecha is the general description, and then we enumerate them with Chosen Yeshuos, Chochma Vadas, Yiras Hashem, and He Oyitzara refers to Sukkah. So we have here a nice collection of interpretations on this very popular pasuk. One other thing I want to point out, thing that we're speaking about this pasuk obviously is most well known for the Seder of the Mishnayos, because you know it's not so clear. Yeah, I'm not knowledgeable in these matters, but just because Rabbeinu HaKadosh ordered all of the Mishnayos into six orders, he took everything that he collected, compiled everything that was out there from the Tanoim and from the traditions before the Tanoim into six orders. Who told us that the order of the six Siddurim is the way it is? And in other words, this summer is going to be a Siyum HaShas. Why is the Siyum HaShas taking place when they conclude Masechta Nida? Because Nida is the last Masechta in the last of the 36 Masechtas from which there is Talmud Bavli. Okay, it's Siyum on Talmud Bavli, and it's in Seder Taharos. So we're following the six orders. We start with brachos. Brachos is in Seder Zeroim. And that's it. That's the only Masechta in Seder Zeroim for which there is Talmud Bavli. And then we go to Moed. Every Masechta there is Talmud Bavli. And then we go to Nashim. And then we go to Nizakin. Nizakin does not have every Masechta Idios. There is no Talmud for Idios. And we only Dafim the. And then you go in Avos. Correct. That's correct. Thank you. Avos and Idios. And then we go to Seder Kadashim, which, as we know, we're missing the two Masechtas, Midos and Masechta Kinim. And Tyros, there's nothing but Masechta Nida. But the order is exactly the way it's presented in this pasuk. And that's how the printers have arranged it in the standard Vilna Shas of 20 volumes. Okay, already it's becoming outdated, the standard Vilna Shas, because now the new Shasim that are produced by Oiz V'Hadar and by Zindel Berman, though I think have more, they have more than 20 volumes because they break up the Masechtas, they break up the. Some of the larger volumes have been broken up into more than one volume, but the order as it's presented with the numbers Aleph, Beis, Gimel is in this order. Okay, Art School has 72 volumes. Of course, it's in this order, but we should be aware not everyone agrees that this is the order of the Siddurim. I don't remember. I tried to find it. Yes, I couldn't find it. I meant to find it today, but I just didn't get the chance. There is another opinion that learns that the order of the Mishnah of the Siddurim is different, based on a pasuk in Tehillim. I don't remember the details, but I think it's the pasuk Taras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh Eidus Hashem Ne'emana Machim Aspesi. There's a pasuk or a series of sukkim in Tehillim, and one of the Mizmarim, which is used according to a different medrash for the order of the Shisha. Siddurim. Obviously, the Shisha Siddurim came much, much, much after Yeshaya, and much, much after David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. There was no such thing as a Rabbeinu HaKadosh with six orders of Mishnayis. This was an invention, relatively speaking, in modern times. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh patterned, he put everything, obviously it was Kodesh Kodashim, he patterned it based upon Chazal, upon Yeshaya or David. So we are very familiar with the order, as we mentioned, from this pasuk. But we should be aware there is another order. I don't remember the details, but the other order concludes Shas with Seder Nizokin. And what is so interesting is, if you look, what is the last Masechta of Seder Nizokin? Horios. If you study Masechta Horios, you will discover the last few blot. It's a couple of blot. At the end of Horios is Agadita. It is probably the most beautiful Agadita in the entire Shas. And it's all about the chashivas of learning Torah, and about reviewing Torah, and the difference between a Baki and an Oike Horem, all the milos of Torah. If you were preparing a drasha to make for a Sim HaShas, you would take it right out of the last pages of Masechta Horios. And when you become aware that there's another medrash. The medrash that says that the order is arranged based upon these psukim in Tehillim, not based upon the pasuk here in Yeshaya. And the order there is completely different. I don't remember the details which Seder comes first. All I remember is that the last Seder is Nizokin. And there's something to it. When you look in, you see that it could very well be that this was maybe more of the original intent than the way we are so familiar today and conclude with, we start with brachos and we end with nida. Why? Why should brachos be the first masechta in Shas? Could be, and why should nida be the last masechta in Shas? It's because of the Seder, this pasuk. But again, I don't repeat myself many times, there's another order. There's another order, and a different order, the last masechta would be Nizokin, which would be masechta Horios. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk, Zion.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg here? I mean, what motivated Rebbe to come to this pasuk out of all time? And to...
I don't know the answer. I don't know. Maybe the other way around. It's Yeshaya who has Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshaya is obviously holier than Rebbe. Yeshaya was a Navi. Not necessarily. Mar Ezer Chacham is Odef Minavi. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the ultimate Talmud Chacham. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh in the Gemara says, Chacham is Odif, is greater than a Navi, a prophet. Yeshaya was a prophet. Yeshaya lived how many years before? Yeshaya lived probably 600 years before Rebbeinu HaKadosh, at least something like that. I don't know the numbers. Maybe it's even more. Maybe it's It's 1,000 years.
Died in the year 220, approximately.
Oh, so we're talking over 1,000. Yeah, I'm getting confused. By Tishma Yisheim, I always mix those two up. 420 years, 490 years difference. You have to always add. So they lived 1,000 years apart. So did Yeshaya see in Nevuah? But what is Nevuah? Nevuah, Yeshaya is obviously telling us about today. I mean, it's so clear. We learned something from Sukkah, and he's speaking to us today. That's why it's preserved. That's what prophecy is all about. Yeshaya saw Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he obviously took a hint from what it says in Yeshaya. They live 1,000 years apart. It's hard for us to relate to this, obviously,
it's
but...
It's not that what was in his mind, but there's something that attracted him here.
Obviously. But there's also the Pesukim in Tehillim, which goes back even way before. I mean, adding another few hundred years, David HaMelech before Yeshaya. So that's another approach, and that came first. That's another approach to understand the order of the Mishnais. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Hein Er Elam. This is a very unusual word. Now, if you remember, we had it in the beginning of one of the Pesukim, Ariel. Ariel means the lion. Ariel, the lion of Kel. Aleph Lamed is Kel Hashem. Ari is a lion. A fire in the tzura of a lion would rest upon the Mizbeach. That's why the Mizbeach was called Ariel. Samlun Ariel with reference to the entire Beis HaMikdash. Samlun Ariel reference to the Shechina. But here we have another word, Er Elam, which is very similar to Ariel. We don't have the Yud, and we have here an extra Mem at the end. So it's not exactly Ariel, it's Er Elam. But Rashi, in one interpretation, learns that this refers to the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach, Tzoaku Chutza, cried outside. Now what does it mean that it cried outside? So let's just read the Rashi. Hoya Hanavi Misnabi Nechamos. Here, according to Rashi, the Navi is giving over words of comfort. That the punishment, we have to remember that we think of the episode of Chizkiyahu and Sanherib as a very happy time. It was a very great miracle. All of the soldiers were destroyed. But the moments of the events that led up to that moment were the most difficult in the entire Jewish history. Klal Yisrael was on the verge of extinction. Aseres HaShvatim are gone. Most of the Malchus of Yehuda is gone. The last stronghold is Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim itself, there was a rebellion. There was a person by the name of Shevna. He was more charismatic than Chizkiyahu. He had a greater following than Chizkiyahu. And there was almost a civil war, it appears. Very similar to what happened during Talmud Chum Bayesheni. There were three groups. Over here, there were two groups. And Hashem told Yeshaya, be b'chizkas yad, don't listen to Shevna, follow Chizkiyahu. And there was a siege, there was starvation, there was terrible things. And this was the end. We're dealing over here with just the very end of Klal Yisrael. These were extremely difficult times. And if not for the enormous miracle that's beyond description of suddenly, I mean, who would imagine just in one moment 185,000 people that are camped outside Yerushalayim, poised to attack at any moment, and given in a moment, just suddenly die? After they died, the simcha was enormous, but the events leading up to that moment were the most difficult, the most horrible in almost all of our history. And therefore, all of us, but you talk about Holocaust, but the very difficult times, and here, these next series of psukim are going to tell us that because we suffered so much, we have received a full measure of punishment for any sin that we have committed. And enough, Hashem's enough. Nismala hasa. Once the measurement of punishment has been filled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish a person more than what they deserve, and the punishment has been received, it's now time to put an end to suffering and bring salvation. And that's the theme of all these psukim, and that's how Rashi begins, that these psukim are words of comfort. Words of comfort, they don't seem like words of comfort to us. I mean, this really, Rashi is opening up the entire is opening up the entire an approach to Sefer Yeshaya. Sefer Yeshaya, Chazal tell us, is a Sefer of Nechama, of comfort. It's not. It doesn't seem to be a Sefer of comfort. Perek Nun, towards the very end, Nachamu Nachamu An. A few parakim. But by and large, most of the Sefer is, like we say, gloom and doom. So what's going on here? So Rashi here in this pasuk, where it talks about the Mizbeach, Hoya Navi Misnabe Nechamos. This is a critical Rashi to understand the whole Sefer. Over here he's giving the Chamos, the Oimer. If Rashi would say this on the Pasuk of Nachamu Nachamu Ami, you wouldn't blink, right? Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Oh, the Navi means Misnabe Nechamos. He's saying this on the Pasuk that we're going to see that's horrible. That the Er Elam is Tzoaku. The Mizbeach is crying, is screaming. Or we'll see another interpretation. Hoya Navi Misnabe Nechamos, the Oimer Shaparanos. Kivar ochluhu, you have received a full measure of punishment. You're finished. That's it. You got the shot. Take the child to the doctor. The child is screaming. He's getting a shot from the doctor. And once the doctor, that's it. It's over. Finished. You don't have to cry anymore. You don't have to scream. It's over. You can walk out. You get your lollipop. Everything is okay. Kivar ochluhu me'ato, and from here on, akum. I will rise up and I will elevate myself to redeem them. Hein al er elim shalohem, concerning in regard to what is that? Hu hamizbeach. This is the mizbeach, lashon of Ariel. Here the yud again is missing and there's an extra aleph and an extra mem at the end. Kivart Soaku, it already has cried, Visaftu Bichutzosam, Uveruchovos Bibchiunihi. The Mizbeach already cried enough. It got enough, it already suffered enough. The Mizbeach is the Pasuk here is ascribing to the Mizbeach emotion, feelings. That when the Jewish people are suffering, there is no, the Mizbeach's bottle, there are no offerings, so it's as if the Mizbeach itself, Kaviyachal, whatever this means, has left the city and has gone into exile and is in pain. It has received enough pain, it's over. And now you can come back, everything will be peaceful, and the pasuk includes Malachei Shalom, angels of peace, Mar Yivkayun, cry with bitterness. Mar is bitter, Yivkayun, they cry. Another idea that these angels are crying with, so here Rashi learns we're dealing with the Mizbeach. We're ascribing to the Mizbeach emotion. It has been exiled. It cried out outside in the streets. It left the Beis HaMikdash because the Mikdash is bottle. It went into the street and cried, I'm bottle. No one is bringing sacrifices. Or Adarabba, people are bringing upon me idols. They're worshipping idols. We learn in Sefer Melachim. What went on with the Mizbeach is just not to be believed. It's hard for us to understand what it's all about. They even made a new Mizbeach that it was in the image of a popular Avodah Zarah. There was an Avodah, I remember the exact parak, there was an Avodah Zarah. One of the kings went on a visit and he saw a certain idol and an altar that they constructed, and he was so impressed with the architecture of this Mizbeach, he instructed his engineers and artists to replicate that Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, to offer sacrifices to who knows what. So the Mizbeach was very upset. It's crying. You have cried enough. Now everything will be restored. The angels have cried with bitterness. No longer will you cry. This is the Nechama. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation of Er Elam is a reference to an angel. That's how most of the Mepharshim learn. Hey, Ner Elam, Amar Hanavi, look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, Ki Kol Malach, Hashaluach meitam, hine kulam b'chutzos b'mokam mahalcham tzuaku b'kolmar. The Jewish people have angels accompanying them at all points in time. Every time a person does a mitzvah, Chazal tell us, it creates a malach. You come up on Friday night, what do we say? Shalom aleichem malachei hashamis. Shabbos, Friday night, we have the malachim, we greet them, we ask them to bless us. Either you do say Tzei Yisrael L'Shalom, or you don't say Tzei Yisrael L'Shalom. When you say Tzei Yisrael L'Shalom, you're saying goodbye to last week's Malachim, but this week's Malachim are staying with you for the entire week. The Malachim accompany us wherever we go. The Malachim were crying. They suffered with us. No longer will they suffer. So in the Mitzudos interpretation, and along with many others, Er Olam refers to a certain type of angel, or group of angels. Okay? That is the simple interpretation to approaches of the Mizbech or angels. I just want to just point out a beautiful idea from Rav David Cohn. Rav David Cohn here from Flatbush and Gulyavitz on Coney Island Avenue. He says, he puts these, this is a brilliant, brilliant idea, what he says. He puts these two psukim together. Pasuk Zayin together with Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is the Pasuk, is the hallmark of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is the one who has arranged the Mishnayos. He codified the Mibraisos and put them into six orders. And the Sharish of the six orders is the Pasuk of Ahoya Emunasi Techachos and Yeshua's Chachma Vadas. What do we know about Rabbeinu HaKadosh when he died? So let me read you a little piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, Daf Ksubis, Daf Kuf Dalid, Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Amru Le Rabban Lebarka Par, Zil Ayin, let go see Rabbeinu HaKadosh, was suffering. He was in great pain, and the Jewish people were being misfollowed. And the Gemara before this tells us that with the maid servant, she saw that she was suffering to such a degree, she wanted the Talmidim to stop being misfollowed. Because as long as they continue to be misfollowed, he will continue to suffer. If they'll stop davening, he'll die. It's better that he should die and not suffer. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rabbanu Lamar Bar Kapara, Zil Ayin, go and see what is the story. Is Rabbeinu HaKadosh alive? Ozal, he went. Ashechei denoch nafshei. And he discovered that indeed, Rabbeinu HaKadosh has left us. He died. Karei lilavushei, he writes Kriya. Rabbeinu HaKadosh died. The Talmud Chacham that dies, everyone is mechuyev to do Kriya. Vahadre l'karei l'acharei. But he did not want people to know. Because if they would know, because he did not want them to know, what does Rashi say here? He turned it around. Okay, the Rashi turned it around. People should not see that he writes Kriya. And Pasach v'Omar, and he said he recited the following expression, which has become a famous expression. You see this expression, they use this as on a header, Rachmana Litzlan Leilenu, when they announce or they put up a sign that a Talmud Chacham has died. And on some, I've even seen this on a kever, in one of the Salavetchiks, this is on one of the kevarim Pasach v'Omar, Elim Umitsukim Ochazu Bo'oron HaKodesh. There was a fight between the Elim, that's the word here. It's not the same exact word. It's close. Here it's Elom. Here it's Elim. There is an extra Yud between the Lamed and the Mem. There is no Yud in our Pasuk. Okay, but it's close enough. And that refers to the Malachim. The Malachim wanted Rabbeinu HaKadosh. They wanted him in Shemayim. Umitsukim. The Mitsukim, Rashi says, refers to the Tzadikim. Tzok. Tzok means a strong rock, a strong mountain. Rashi says, Malachim v'tzadikim mitsukei eretz. The strong, the powerful people of the earth. The strongholds of the earth. That's the Mitsukim of the Tzadikim. They were fighting over the Oron of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, if he will remain in this world, or he will be taken to heaven. Ochazu ba'aron, they held on to the Aron. HaKadosh. Notzchu Elim es hamitzukim. The Malachim overpowered the Tzadikim. V'noshbo Aron HaKadosh. And the Aron HaKadosh was captured. The neshama of Rabbeinu HaKadosh ascended to heaven with the Malach. That is the way they made it known that he died. Okay, again, this became a famous expression that is used as a header to inform that a tzaddik has died. Amrulay, so they said to him, he spoke in code. He didn't say something that is clear cut. Noch nafshe. What does that mean? He died? What are you saying? We never heard this expression before. Amalahu, aton kamrito va'anoloi kamina. You said it, I didn't say it. I didn't say those words. You're not allowed to say something bad. You said I didn't say it. I just spoke in code. Okay, fine. Rav David Cohn says, unbelievable var, that's why this pasuk here is next to the pasuk Emunasitecha. Because this pasuk is referring to the reaction of the malach, referring to this expression that the nishva or nakodesh, the erelim, the malachim, prevailed. and they took the neshama of this great person who arranged the emunas iteach ochos in Yeshua's chochma v'das. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was mesader. When he came to die, the people of this world refused to let him leave. The koyach hatfilah is that powerful that we can prevent people from dying. But the malachim overcame. Tzo'aku chutza. They succeeded. They cried. They cried out on the outside. I guess chutza here means on the other side of the curtain. They cried out, and I guess what it means is that they also were not happy. Okay, they succeeded in capturing Rebbe, but so what? What do they gain? So they have Rebbe and Shemayim. It would have been for their benefit had Rebbe remained in this world also, to a certain degree, because if Rebbe's in this world, then in Shemayim. If they were happy in this world, they're happy in Shemayim. They tzo'aku chutza, and the malachei shalom, and the angels of peace. This also continues the Gemara. The Gemara says when a person dies, let me read the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'shosh ha'tzadik niftam in olam shalosh kitos shal malachei ha'sharis yotzos l'kvaso. When a person dies, three groups of malachim greet the person. Achas, the first group of Amar says, lo, bo, b'shalom. The first one says, come in peace. V'achas, Amaris, holech nechocho, goes, the one who goes in the straight path. V'achas emeres lo yavo shalom yenuchu al mishkevesam, come in peace, rest in peace, and come in peace. So here, malachei shalom, two of the three angels. There are three angels. One angel says, "Go, you shall go in, go nechocho." The other two say, "Malachei, come in peace." So when it says here, malachei shalom, it refers to these angels that were greeting the neshama of Rabbeinu Hakadosh. They cried. They were upset that it had to be that Rabbeinu HaKadosh left this world. So there's a very fascinating shteltzu, where you take this pasuk, which is the hallmark of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and you match it with this pasuk of the Erelim Tzaku, of this famous story, that the Malachim overpowered the Tzadikim of this world. Okay, we'll stop here. Subit staff kuf dalet, amid aleph. Kuf dalet, kuf, 100.